CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with the Bob Zimmerman Behind the Black website to introduce us into labor relations in the brave new world of commercial space. Right now, it describes one company, SpaceX, Elon Musk, much in the news, labor relations in the news with him. We can anticipate there will be more labor strife over the next centuries in which space engineering dominates. However, we begin with Musk, always in trouble, Bob. You know, as a marketing genius, he's a genius.
Yeah, I mean, he is. And of course, you know, he's like a lightning rod. And because he is dared, had the audacity to say some things that might be critical of the left in the last few months, how dare you say dissent from the left's agenda? He's now, there's a great deal of hate developing about Musk. So you called it labor relations, John, but I'd rather call this attacks of billionaires. That's what, or millionaires, or CEOs. This is the first two stories we've got here today. So Musk, late last week, there were two events that happened within like 24 hours. He was attacked in an open letter that some company employees put together to ask him to please get off Twitter and stop saying all the evil things he says. You're not allowed to criticize the left, and there are employees in SpaceX that just simply didn't like it. Well, SpaceX's response was pretty blunt and immediate. The CEO, Gwynne Shotwell, sent out an open letter to the employees saying, this is wrong. This is a distraction from our work. She has received complaints from employees that it's interfering with their ability to work, what they have to do. And so this will not continue. And let me quote, we performed an investigation and have terminated a number of employees involved. And basically, later leaks suggested five people had been fired. SpaceX is not going to play the woke game. It's not going to apologize. It's cleaning house. It will not have these people around. And this is, of course, one of the reasons why there's so much hate of him in Twitter, because he's going to probably do the same thing there, and that company is filled with such people. At the same time, Musk was sued by, and this I think is one of these frivolous suits that might be also trying to do pump and dump with Bitcoin, you know, cryptic fake money. This guy sued in the New York courts Musk for $258 billion for engaging in, quote, in a crypto pyramid scheme by way of doggy coin cryptocurrency. And the guy's saying that Musk, by his statements and his actions, has helped the has caused the value of that cryptocurrency to go down. And so he sued, and immediately the price went up. So that makes me wonder if he's not trying to do something himself. But it's part of this Musk hate. Second story, John, about hate of CEOs. The federal government has effectively kicked out the people who founded and saved the smallsat rocket startup Firefly. Initially, the federal government came in and said the man who saved the company, a big investor who came when that company was being sold off in bankruptcy, its assets being sold off, this Ukrainian entrepreneur billionaire came along and bought the whole company. And then reopened it. Instead of taking it apart and pocketing the money and the assets, he said, we're going to start over. And he got the company going again under the same CEO, the same founder, Tom Makuczyk. And they suddenly came out of like a phoenix rising. They came out of nowhere, and they suddenly have had a launch attempt, and they're going to do a second launch attempt very shortly. So, but he was kicked out because he's a foreign investor, and he's a Ukrainian foreign investor. We can't have a Ukrainian foreign investor in an American company, even as we're spending billions of dollars in the Ukraine to defend that country. It's like insane.
Bob, just a moment. Is this national security? What is this?
That's the reason it was given. National security. You can't have a foreign investor from the Ukraine involved with a rocket.
It's Firefly, Bob. It's a commercial enterprise, correct?
Yes, I know. I know. It's insane. There's no logic to any of this. But once he went, Makuczyk, in order to get financing, brought in a different private equity firm called AE Industrial Partners. Well, it appears that AE, now that it's got the money, it makes the rules. It decided it didn't want Makuczyk as the CEO, and it kicked him out. and they're going to bring their own people in. He's going to be a consultant, a technical advisor. But he's been, basically the people that made this company happen have been kicked out, and it all really comes from government interference.
All right. Commercial space will have bad days, and this looks like to be one of them. We go to a couple of announcements. One, the SLS wet test. Where is it, Bob?
It's completed. Well, I wouldn't say completed. They did it. They didn't quite do what they wanted to do entirely, but they did it. They got the countdown down to T-minus 29 seconds, which was a little short of their goal. And they had to make believe, ignore that a hydrogen leak in the umbilical fuel line was not taking place so that they could do the terminal count the last 10 minutes of the count so they could fill the tanks, do everything else. And they did it, and NASA has now announced that they're happy with it. They consider this a success, though it didn't really accomplish everything and it still has an issue. And they're going to roll the rocket back to the VAB building so they can look over and fix that leak in the umbilical core fuel line, which I should point out is not the same hydrogen leaks that caused the previous attempts to do this wet dress rehearsal from a different place. NASA has a problem. It's between a rock and a hard place, John. They can't. A really good engineering approach to this would fix these problems and do another test of some kind to make sure they're covered. They still have not done a full launch to countdown dress rehearsal, not complete. They had to improvise this to get some of it done. So that's what a real company and a real engineering firm would do. But this is NASA and the government. So if they do that, it's going to add more delays to the rocket. And it also will be refueling the rocket another time. And there's two issues there. One, further delays is embarrassing to NASA. It also puts more strain on the solid rocket boosters that the rocket will use. Those were stacked in November of 20. And so we're approaching 2 years they've been stacked. And NASA's always had a policy of a one-year use-by date for those solid rocket boosters. In other words, you stack them, and they're solid rocket fuel. And in a stacked position, the gravity on them could be distorting the solid rocket material. And so there begins to be an increasing unknown how it will respond when you light those firecrackers. And so in the past, they always said, after a year, we're not going to use it anymore. It's got to be flown in a year. Well, now it's almost a year and 7-8 months, and by August it'll be a year and like 10 months. So they don't want to delay any further with this, the unknowns. And the second thing is, this rocket is not reusable. When they designed it, they can't really fuel it and unfuel it multiple times endlessly. After about a dozen plus times, the rocket basically becomes a garden ornament. They can't fly it anymore. So they've now fueled it twice. They don't want to fuel it extra times in a test. So they're gonna look it over and then tell us when they're going to try to launch. That's what I expect to happen right now, John.
The ISS required to dodge space junk created by Russia's anti-satellite test in November 21. Is this routine, Bob, these days?
It's going to be happening more and more. It's been routine since ISS was launched that periodically you've got to shift it slightly when space junk is coming by. There's never been a case where any big space junk was actually going to hit the station, but when it's going to come too close, you move the station to make sure it doesn't come even that close. And so some of the space junk from that anti-satellite test the Russians did in 21 was going to come close to the station last week, and so they used the Progress freighter to move it. The Russians had to do this. And the Russians have consistently denied the anti-satellite test and the 1,500 pieces of satellite that it created. They've consistently denied this is not going to be a problem, but this is an example that is a problem, and it's going to be increasingly a problem over time as those pieces, the orbit of those pieces decay and more of them cross ISS's orbit.
Congratulations to South Korea. It has a new president and it has a new rocket called Nuri. What does it do?
This is a totally home-built rocket. They had a program for the last decade plus to build it, and they had a failed launch in October, but this week they successfully launched Nuri, put up 6 satellites, most of which were dummies or university CubeSats. They have their own rocket, John. It's a big success for them.
And Rashid, my favorite story, Bob. UAE has a Rashid. Who is Rashid? Introduce him. Hit.
Rashid is a little lunar rover that UAE is building, and it's scheduled for a November launch, not far in the future. It's going to be launched on a SpaceX Falcon 9. It's going to be attached to a Japanese lander built by a Japanese private company. The lander will take it to the surface of the moon, and then the rover will roll off, and they hope to have it work for about 2 weeks on the lunar surface, John. This is all UAE built, too. They did it themselves.
Yes, there's a video on Bob's site. You can watch them build it in fast motion. It's got romance around it. Rashid, headed to the moon. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,